السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
Can we proceed?
نعم.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Yesterday from our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, we read narrations from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from their teacher and the messenger of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. The first set of narrations were about the fact that the one who connects the ties of kinship, Allah grants him long life. The one who connects the ties of kinship gains long life, and he gains an expansion of wealth. The wealth will be expanded and blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other set of reports make us understand that in addition to these two benefits, أَحَبَّهُ أَهْلُهُ, Allah will make his family, his dependents, to also love him. When you are nice to a people, they want to love you. Allah places the love of you in their hearts. Today, inshallah, we'll be coming to the next chapter, the next bab in this book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. And that chapter heading says, Babu birril aqrabi fal aqrab. Babu birril aqrabi fal aqrab. The chapter that birril aqrabi fal aqrab, connecting family ties should be upon connecting the most nearest to us, then the most nearest, then the most nearest. The most nearest of our families are most deserving of being connected. Those who are most deserving of good feelings in the family are those who are nearest to us. For example, our parents, our fathers, and our mothers are most deserving of the best of feelings in connecting family ties. And even between the father and the mother is most deserving. So the mothers are most deserving. The mothers are most deserving of the best of treatments. Then the fathers, then the children, then. So connecting family ties is based upon this. It will mean that it is not appropriate that a person who does not connect his father, he does not connect his mother, he does not connect his father, he does not connect his brothers or his sisters, he jumps all the way, comes and starts connecting the cousins and other relatives. Yes, the cousins are relatives. Yes, the uncles are relatives. But the mother is most deserving of the best of the treatment, then the father, then the children, and so on. So we are saying that this chapter heading is a means of educating us that connecting family ties has to come by connecting those who are nearest to us, then those who are nearest to them, then those who are nearest, then those in the next category. So birrul aqrabi fal aqrab, meaning that connecting those who are most nearest to us, then those who follow them, then those who follow them, then those who follow them. So connecting family ties has categories. Our parents, then our children, then we shall come to that. So here, inshallah, we want to read the ahadith that are connected to this point. The ahadith that are connected to the fact that birrul aqarib connecting the ties of kith and kin has to do with categories. And those who are most deserving of the best of the treatment are those who are nearest to us, then followed by the next group of people, then followed by the next group of people. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith from his Shaykh Haywa ibn Shuraih. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported this hadith from his Shaykh Haywa ibn Shuraih. قال حدثنا بقية عن بحير عن خالد بن معدان عن المقدام بن معدي كرب أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول إن الله يوصيكم بأمهاتكم ثم يوصيكم بأمهاتكم ثم يوصيكم بآبائكم ثم يوصيكم بالأقرب فالأقرب إن الله يوصيكم بأمهاتكم ثم يوصيكم بأمهاتكم ثم يوصيكم بآبائكم ثم يوصيكم بالأقرب فالأقرب. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from his Sheikh Haywa ibn Shuraih. حيوى ابن شريح أبو الأباس الحضرمي قال حدثنا بقية. حيوى ابن شريح reported that from his Sheikh بقية ابن الوليد. بقية ابن الوليد is one of another popular reporter of a hadith from amongst the scholars in his طبقة, in his category. بقية ابن الوليد and بحير. Bahir is Bahir ibn Sa'd. Bahir ibn Sa'd al-Sahuli and Khalid ibn Ma'dan al-Himsi. He has reported this hadith from his Sheikh Khalid ibn Ma'dan al-Himsi. And Khalid ibn Ma'dan has reported this hadith from the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Miqdam ibn Ma'di Karib. Miqdam ibn Ma'di Karib, among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His kunya was Abu Karima. He was Abu Karima al-Kindi. Miqdam ibn Ma'di Karib. Miqdam ibn Ma'di Karib, amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was Abu Karima. So like Tamim ibn Aus in al-Dari, who was Abu Ruqayya, Miqdam ibn Ma'di Karib also has his kunya from a daughter, Abu Karima. From his daughter Karima, he has taken his kunya Abu Karima al-Kindi, radiyallahu anhu. Miqdam ibn Ma'di Karib was a very, very eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he lived very long. If we go to Musnad Imam Ahmad, he has over 100 hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his hadith are in Sahih al-Bukhari. We find his hadith in Sahih Muslim and in other books of hadith. There is a hadith that he has reported that we regularly cite, but most of the times we do not remember that. That hadith is from this companion, Miqdam ibn Ma'di Karib. Miqdam ibn Ma'di Karib was the companion who reported that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma akala ahadun minkum ta'aman fi dunya khayrun lahu min an ya'kula min amali yadayhi. Ma akala ahadun ta'aman fi dunya. No one eats any food better, the best food. No one eats any food in this dunya. Khayrun lahu, better for that individual. Min an ya'kula min amali yadayhi. Better for him than for him to eat from the proceeds of his handwork. So the best work, the best food for us to eat is that from the proceeds of our handwork. The best of the food that any individual will take in, will consume, are the food that are from the proceeds of our handiwork. The best of the food you put in your mouth, you give to your children, you give to the rest of the people who are dependent on you, are those from your handwork. We quote this hadith a lot. But we do not forget, we do not remember to mention that it is from the hadith of Miqdam ibn Ma'di Karim. So this companion, radiallahu anhu, Miqdam ibn Ma'di Karim, he said, Samia Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul. He heard while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was saying that, Inna Allah yusikum bi ummahatikum. ثم يوصيكم بأمهاتكم ثم يوصيكم بآبائكم ثم يوصيكم بالأقرب فالأقرب إن الله يوصيكم بأمهاتكم ثم يوصيكم بأمهاتكم ثم يوصيكم بآبائكم ثم يوصيكم بالأقرب فالأقرب. He said, رَضِيَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُوصِيكُمْ بِأُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يُوصِيكُمْ has commanded you to take care of أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah has commanded you to be nice to your أُمَّهَات, your mothers. Allah يُوصِيكُمْ, He commands you. He gives you a strong counsel, the ummahatikum, that you should connect, be kind to your parents, your mothers, in this case, ummahatikum. Allah has commanded us to pay good attention to our mothers, to make sure we direct good statements and actions towards their mothers. Some of the scholars say, ummahatikum, yes, yani ummikum. Inna allaha yusikum bi ummikum. He made it general. Even when he says the ummikum, that will be mufradun mudaf, and it will still have the meaning of ummahatikum. But the meaning again is that it is not restricted to our mothers. From our ummahat are our grandmothers, our great grandmothers, and so on above. Allah has commanded us to take care of our mothers, and then our grandmothers, and then our great grandmothers, and our great, and then above the ummahatikum. All these set of people fall under our what? Ummahat. So inna Allaha yusikum bi ummahatikum, thumma yusikum bi ummahatikum. Again. He also commands us, again, he repeats the command that we should take care of our mothers. Why? We all know the reason. The mothers suffer a lot to have the child come to the surface of the earth from the first day of pregnancy. From the first day of pregnancy, many of the women become sick people. And then they are under this condition until they deliver the baby. On the day they will deliver the baby, Allah alone knows whether they will be alive or not. They themselves wouldn't be able to speak about the intensity of the pain that they will suffer while delivering the baby. When the baby comes out alive and safe, bismillah, the mother also begins to carry the baby around, breastfeeding him, backing him, and all others, until the baby becomes a child that can walk. Even at that, is there any time that the attention of the mother comes off the body of the child? Even as adults at 40, 50, 60, the parents don't stop feeling, the mothers don't stop feeling and taking the children as children. They don't stop paying attention to their children. May Allah be kind to our parents as they have been kind to us, especially our mothers. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these mothers, inna allaha yusikum bi ummahatikum, Allah commands you to be kind to your mothers. And then he repeats it, summa yusikum bi ummahatikum. And then again, he commands you again to be kind to your mothers, to be compassionate towards them in your speech and in your action. Then he said, summa yusikum bi abaikum. Thereafter, he also gives you a strong counsel regarding your fathers. Like the mothers too, the fathers go up and above. Your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, and so on above. The abaikum. our grandfathers, our great grandfathers all come under this category because they form from our fathers, our Aba. So he said, Thumma yusikum bi abaikum. You see, the point of reference in this hadith is already established. Because after mentioning the mothers amongst the people that we must connect and be kind to, the next group of people are who? Are our fathers. So this is Al-Aqrab fal-Aqrab. Al-Aqrab, the most nearest for us to connect, are who? Our mothers. Fal-Aqrab. Then those who are near after those people, those are our fathers. So even from these two instructions, the point of reference in the chapter heading is already established. The mothers first, and then the fathers. And then the Prophet said, Summa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Summa yusikum bil aqrabi fal aqrab. And then he commands you to be kind to al aqrab, the nearest amongst your relatives. Fal aqrab, then the nearest, the most near to us, then those who follow them, then those who follow them, than those who follow them. But the most nearest of all human beings to us, they are our mothers, and then our fathers, and then those who are nearest to us, and then those who are nearest to us. We remember that in Hadith 3 of this book, we had read a similar hadith from the hadith, in that case of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when someone came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam and said that ya Rasulallah, man ahakku nas bi husni sahabati, who is the most deserving amongst the people to have the best of companionship from me? And in another report it said, nabi'ni bi ahakki nasi minni sohbatan, nabi'ni, give me information about ahakku nasi minni sohbatan, the most deserving of the people to nice behavior and kindness from me. Tell me, who are those? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him about his mother, and then his mother, and then his mother. And later after that he said, and then your father. And then in that hadith he said, Summa adnaka adnak. Summa adnaka adnak. Yes, that means, and after the mother, the mother, the mother, then the father. Then adnaka, those who are nearest to you. Then adnak, after those, then those who are nearest, then those who are nearest. So that hadith is in the meaning of this hadith. Summa yusikum bil akrabi fal akrab, after the mother, and then the mother, and then the mother, then the father, then those who are nearest, then those who are nearest. And I remember that we had mentioned a breakdown of this nearness to us. From among those who are most near to us after our parents, they are our awlad, our children. They are the nearest to us. Then after that, we had mentioned our grandparents, as we mentioned our parents, as we mentioned our mothers, as we mentioned our fathers, we had mentioned our grandparents. After them, we have our ikhwa wal akhwat. We have our brothers and then our sisters. So after our children, the next group of people most deserving of the best treatment from us, from the aspects of connecting family ties, they are our brothers and who? Then our sisters. Under these brothers and sisters, our half-brothers and our half-sisters fall under this category. Our half-brothers and our half-sisters fall under this category. After our children, then our sisters, and then our brothers. Then sa'irul maharim, like the rest of our maharim, like our paternal uncles. After our parents, our children, our brothers and sisters, both full brothers and full sisters, and half brothers and half sisters, and then our uncles, paternal. Our paternal uncles are closer to us than our maternal uncles. our paternal aunts, they are closer to us than our maternal aunts and our maternal uncles. So the precedence is for our paternal uncles and aunts, and then our maternal uncles and aunts. After this, then their own children. You see, after our uncles and aunts, paternal first, and then maternal, then paternal cousins, their own children. They are closer to us than our maternal cousins. Our paternal cousins are closer to us than our maternal cousins. By rights, we are talking about the rights of king and king in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on and so forth. Al-Aqrabu, Al-Aqrab. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Inna Allah yusikum bi ummahatikum. Allah has commanded you to be kind regarding your mother. Thumma yusikum bi ummahatikum. He commands you again to be kind and compassionate by right to your mothers. Thumma yusikum bi abaikum. Then he commands you again to be kind and nice to your fathers. Thumma yusikum bil aqrab. Allah commands you again to be kind to the nearest of these people, of your relatives, your kith and kin, the nearest to you, and then the nearest, and then the nearest. One major point of benefit we will derive from this hadith is that it is not proper for us. You find some of the people donating in foundations. They give 100, 200, 500 billions to foundations, while their kith and kin are bereft of the appropriate care. Unfortunately, even in English language, I think they say that charity begins at home. So it would be unfortunate that a person has a big, huge foundation, and the entirety of the world is benefiting from that foundation, while his father, he had abandoned his father, he had abandoned his mother, he had abandoned his children. Some of the people, he's become so bad that even fulfilling the rights of the children is something they do not do. They abandon their children, they abandon their near relatives, but they go out all there shouting. The media is full of their names, that they are being nice in a foundation. They say they go to motherless babies' home. Some of the people will say, instead of showing kindness to their brothers, I would rather go and dump that money in motherless babies' home. You are doing something that is not in line with common good reasoning. It is not in line with common and good reasoning. It is not also in line with the Sharia. What you have to do, the rights of kingship are a right over you. We will not forget that we had read the hadith in which the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that on the day of Qiyamah, Ar-Rahim, the thigh itself, Allah will bring it as a creature. Laha lisanu talqun zalqun yawm al-qiyamah. It will have a tongue. This tongue will be free to speak. This tongue will be very, very eloquent, and it will be asking the people, what is the right? Where is the right of kingship? Where is the right of kingship? So let's not allow, like Allah told us in the Quran, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُ لَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ. The hatred you have for a group of people, don't let it push you not to be fair to them. You have a personal grudge against your brother. He has a right over you despite your grudges. Despite your grudges, he has a right over you that you are kind to him. If he needs your help, he has a right over you to ask for your help. He has a right firstly for you to help him before he asks for your help. So you don't now say, oh, you have a grudge against him, he's in a position that you help him. Instead of helping him, you add to his problem. Don't worry, if you continue to do that, the first thing is that your wealth is going to reduce, the blessings from your wealth will reduce, your lifespan will reduce, and then on the day of Qiyamah, you'll be asked about this right of kingship that you have betrayed. Because Allah commanded us also in the Quran, says, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَىٰ حَقَّهُ. Give the kith and kin their rights. So if you don't give him his rights, because of a grudge that you think that he bears against you, or a grudge you bear against him, that should not prevent you from discharging the rights of a keep and king. And we had read this in a number of hadith, that our keep and king are not nice to us. It's not sufficient reason for us not to discharge the rights of keep and king to them. If we do not discharge these rights of keep and king, we will be asked about these rights of keep and king on the day of Qiyamah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we continue to hear it from amongst the nearest to us in the keep and king are our mothers, then our fathers, then our children, then our uncles, paternal, then our uncles, and after our children, our brothers and our sisters come before our uncles, paternal, and then our uncles and aunts, maternal, uncles and aunts, paternal, then uncles and aunts, maternal, and then cousins, paternal, from paternal uncles, and then cousins from maternal uncles. This is the category that the scholars have placed based on the various reports that have been mentioned regarding these. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, hadith number 60, that we are upon, he says, "Inna Allah yusikum bi ummahatikum, thumma yusikum bi ummahatikum, thumma yusikum bi abaikum, thumma yusikum bil aqrab fal aqrab." May Allah make it easy for all of us. Hadith number 61 is from the hadith of Musa ibn Ismail. Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, "Haddathana Musa ibn Ismail." We read a number of his hadiths. Musa ibn Ismail al-Tabuzaki. "Haddathana al-Khazraj ibn Ismail Abu al-Khattab." Al-Khazraj ibn Ismail Abu al-Khattab al-Sa'di. He said, "قال أخبرنا أبو أيوب السعدي الخزرج السعدي said أخبرنا أبو أيوب سليمان مولى عثمان بن عفان." Abu Ayyub Sulaiman was a freed slave of the companion Uthman ibn Affan. Abu Ayyub Sulaiman, Abu Ayyub Sulaiman is مولى عثمان بن عفان. He said, "جاءنا أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه عشية الخميس ليلة الجمعة يرحمك الله فقال أحرج على كل قاطع رحم لما قام من عندنا فلم يقم أحد حتى قال ثلاثة فأتى فتى عمة له قد صرمها منذ سنتين فدخل عليها فقالت له يا ابن أخي ما جاء بك قال سمعت أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه يقول كذا وكذا قالت ارجع إليك فسأله لما قال ذاك قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول إن أعمال بني آدم تعرض على الله تبارك وتعالى عشية كل خميس ليلة الجمعة فلا يقبل عمل قاطع رحم." الله أكبر. This is a nice story from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه. Abu Ayyub Sulaiman, the freed slave of Uthman ibn Affan, said, "جاءنا أبو هريرة عشية الخميس ليلة الجمعة." Abu Huraira came to us, perhaps in a gathering of learning, Ashiyat al-Khamis. Al-Ashiyah, when it's the first darkness of the night that descends, the first darkness of the night that descends is referred to Ashiyah. That period of time is referred to as what? Ashiyah. The first darkness of the night that is around Ghurub al-Shams. So he says, "جاءنا أبو هريرة عشية الخميس." Abu Huraira came to us in the evening of the day of Khamis, ليلة الجمعة, which comes in the night of Jum'ah. The night of Jum'ah, ليلة الخميس, عشية الخميس, ليلة الجمعة. That is in the evening of Thursday, as the night, as we get into the night of Friday. فَقَالَ يعني the night of يوم الجمعة. فَقَالَ أُحَرِّجُ عَلَى كُلِّ قَاطِعِ رَحِمٍ لَمَا قَامَ مِنْ إِنْجِلَ أُحَرِّجُ عَلَى كُلِّ قَاطِعِ رَحِمٍ لَمَا قَامَ مِنْ إِنْجِلَ. I strongly request every person amongst us here, قَاطِعُ رَحِمٍ, who is a person that is connected in his family ties, لَمَا يَكُومُ مِنْ إِنْجِلَ لَمَا قَامَ مِنْ إِنْجِلَ, such person should stand up from amongst us and go away. Abu Huraira came to Ijati, and then he asked that who amongst the people of this Gajin are from amongst those who have families that they don't connect, they should stand up and go away from us. Some of the scholars say the reason Abu Huraira was reported to have said this was that the early Muslims have a general saying amongst them that Allah will not accept the dua of a people if they have amongst them a person who disconnects the family. It's a common thing amongst the Salaf. The early Muslims, the companions, the Tabi'un, they are used to, it's a common thing amongst them that if we have a group of people of 10, 15, 20, or as we would have in some halakot, 100, 200, and they are making dua, requesting Allah for something, if there is amongst them a person who breaks family ties, their dua will not be answered. It's a common thing amongst them. In fact, there's a hadith regarding it, even though that hadith is a weak hadith. So they have a common belief. So they say this is perhaps the reason why when Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu came to that scripture, he said, I strongly ask anybody who is here, who is from amongst those that disconnects family ties. He has his relatives that he's quarreling with. He has his relatives that he has disconnected from. He has his relatives that he has vowed never to talk to. He has his relatives who have rights over him and who are in need of that right, and he's still holding back that right from them. Let such persons stand and go away from amongst us. فَلَمْ يَكُمْ أَحَدٌ حَتَّى قَالَ ثَلَاثًا. No one stood up until Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu repeated that expression three times. Who is this amongst us? أُحَرِّجُ عَلَى كُلِّ قَاطِعِ رَحِمٍ لَمَا قَامَ مِنْ إِنْجِلَ أُحَرِّجُ عَلَى كُلِّ قَاطِعِ رَحِمٍ لَمَا قَامَ مِنْ إِنْجِلَ. I strongly adjure every person who is here, who cuts and disconnects the family ties, who behaves badly to his family. Let him stand up and leave us. Abu Huraira continued to repeat this thrice, and then Fa'ata Fata Ammahu, a young boy stood up from amongst the people. So he went to his Amma, his paternal aunt. This young boy stood up from the gathering and went to his paternal aunt, Qad Soramaha Mungu Sanatei, and Qad Kota'aha Mungu Sanatei. This young boy had disconnected from his maternal uncle, paternal aunt. He had disconnected from his paternal aunt, the sister of his father, for 2 years. May Allah protect all of us. Those of us all listening, we all know, for some of us, for how long we have disconnected from our relatives. Some from their mothers for more than 2 years. Some from their fathers for more than 2 years. And we'll be giving ourselves excuses. You will hear one of the worst things I've ever heard is a brother who said that he disconnected from his father because his father was an irresponsible father. Look at, he disconnects from his father and he has an audacity to describe his father as irresponsible. This is from the worst of things that could come out from the mouth of anyone. It is from the worst of things that could come out from anyone. So I say to us what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bullu arhamakum walau bisalam. Bullu arhamakum walau bisalam. Connect the ties of your family. Connect your kith and kin walau bisalam. Even if it be by saying taslim Assalamu alaykum to them. The Prophet said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kullu arhamakum. As for this young boy, he had disconnected from his paternal aunt for 2 years. One of the scholars said, one of the benefits from this hadith is that we should attend the gatherings of learning. That from the boys attending the gathering of learning and hearing the sermon and that strong adjuration from Abu Huraira, it became a means of benefit for him to go back and reconcile with his paternal aunt that he had disconnected from. So this young boy had disconnected from his paternal aunt for 2 years. Qad saramaha mundu sanatayn. He had disconnected from his paternal aunt since 2 years ago. Fadakhala alayha. This boy went into her apartment. Faqalat. You know, the woman will be surprised. She was surprised. Qalat lahu. The woman said to him, Yabna akhi. Oh, my nephew. Oh, son of my brother. Maja abika. What is it that has brought you? You that I have not seen for the past 2 years. Maja abika. Ah, we have seen you today. Since 2 years ago. What is it that has brought you? Qala samitu Aba Huraira radiyallahu anhu yaqul. The young boy said to his aunt, I heard Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu saying so and so. This is one of the ways of benefiting from sermons. A person will hear a sermon and immediately he starts adjusting his lifestyle. An individual will hear a sermon and immediately he starts adjusting his lifestyle. Immediately. So that's why I say to us, many of us would have disconnected from uncles, from aunts, from cousins, from nephews, from brothers, from mothers, unfortunately, and from fathers. Bullu arhamakum walau bisalam. Connect your family ties, even if it be by saying taslim. Bullu arhamakum. And in our own times, to make taslim to relatives is now far easier. You can just pick your phone and make a telephone call. My uncle, my aunt, my brother, my sister, how have you been? May Allah make it easy for all of us. This young boy benefited from that sermon of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and he made a change. May Allah make what we hear now a means of change for us too. قَالَ تِرْجَعِ إِلَيْهِ فَسَلْبُ لِمَا قَالَ ذَاكَ. So the boy, after narrating what Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu had said to his aunt, the aunt asked him, go back to Abu Huraira. Go and ask Abu Huraira, why did he say what he had said? Go back to Abu Huraira. Go and ask him. When he came on the evening of Thursday, in the night of Friday, and he said what he had said, anyone who has disconnected family ties should go away from this gathering. Go and ask Abu Huraira, why did he say what he had said? And we know who Abu Huraira himself was about connecting family ties. Radiallahu anhu. The young boy came to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and asked Abu Huraira, and then Abu Huraira said radiallahu anhu, Sami'tu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul. I heard the messenger alayhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saying, Inna a'mal bani Adam tu'radu ala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ashiyata kulli khamisin laylatan jum'ah. Inna a'mal bani Adam tu'radu ala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ashiyata kulli khamisin laylatan jum'ah. The deeds of the children of Adam tu'radu ala Allah. They are presented to Allah, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Blessed is Allah and exalted is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deeds of the children of Adam are presented to him, Ashiyata kulli khamis, in the evening of every Thursday, Laylat al-Jum'ah, in the night of Friday. Fala yakbalu amala qati'i rahimin. Allah will not accept the deeds of a person who had disconnected from family, who had disconnected from kith and kin. His deeds will not be, will not be accepted. That was why I said such a person should go away from this garden, because he has no benefit sitting here. So the boy quickly went to adjust that failure that he had had. This hadith itself, its chain of reports is weak. This hadith itself, its chain of reports is weak, but its meaning is correct. This particular chain of reports is weak, but its meaning is correct. This particular hadith, the story, the isnad is weak, but the meaning of that statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the meaning is captured in other ahadith in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that tuftahu abwabul jannah, tuftahu abwabul jannah. We are mentioning to us another hadith in Sahih Muslim that has the meaning of this hadith of Abu Huraira. Tuftahu abwabul jannah yawm al-ithnain wal-khamis. The doors of the paradise are made open. The doors of al-jannah are opened yawm al-ithnain on Mondays wal-khamis and on Thursdays. The doors of al-jannah are opened on Mondays and on Thursdays. فَيُغْفَرُ فِيهِمَا لِمَنْ لَا يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَيُغْفَرُ فِيهِمَا. So on those days, every person who had never as a old what was the last time you read
me? Assalamu alaikum, Ashikan.
Alaikum assalam. What was the last time you read
me? We are discussing the hadith in Sahih Muslim.
Naam, tuftahu abwaabul jannati yawm al-ithnain wal-khamis. The doors of al-jannah will be opened on the days of Monday, yawm al-ithnain, the second day on Monday, we call it wal-khamis. And the days of Thursday, ayyam al-khamis. Fayughfaru feehima liman la yushriku billahi. And on those days, those who do not join partners with Allah will be forgiven. On those days, those who do not join partners with Allah will be forgiven. إِلَّا الْمُتَعَاجِرِينَ, except those who are in feud, أو مُتَعَاجِرَيْنَ, except two persons in feud, two persons in discord, two Muslims in quarrels, they will not be granted this favor. Two Muslims quarreling will not be granted this favor. So the scholars say, if two Muslims quarreling will not be granted this favor on Thursdays and Mondays when the doors of Al-Jannah will be wide open, how about those who are our relatives? Two relatives in quarrel is a stronger and a grievous sin than two Muslims in quarrel. Two relatives in dispute, two kin and kin in dispute, two members of the family in dispute is a grievous thing, stronger than two Muslims. Those who are connected by Islam, they are at a lower level than those who are connected by Islam and then by family ties. So if those who are connected by Islam will not gain that favor on Thursdays and on Mondays, it means it is a greater reason for those who are connected by Islam and are also connected by family ties. It is a greater reason that they must avoid this evil, otherwise they will lose the benefit of gaining forgiveness. There are other ahadith in the meaning of this in Sahih Muslim, which makes us understand that on the days of Thursdays, we must be sure, and Mondays, we must ensure that we try to settle the disputes that we have. If we don't settle them, we try to connect as least as we can. We can do it. Try to connect with the people and be sure that as far as our family members are concerned, we don't have anyone that we have disconnected. So this hadith makes us understand that we must avoid disconnecting family ties as much as is possible. But I think the point of reference, and Allah knows best why Imam al-Bukhari has placed this hadith under the chapter of the importance of connecting the nearest ones, and then the nearest ones. Perhaps the maternal aunt, the paternal aunt of that young man was the one who was alive at the time, and the nearest person to that boy to have to connect. That is one area that is connected to the chapter under discuss. And then the fact that if it is generally prohibited to disconnect family ties, then those who are nearer to us, this is a greater reason that we must not disconnect family ties from them with the nearest ones to us. I think we still have a little time by which we can quickly read the next hadith, inshallah. The next hadith is also weak from the author of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, but like the hadith number 61. Hadith number 62 also has other ahadith, meaning that are correct from the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Imam al-Bukhari reported it from Muhammad ibn Imran ibn Abi Layla, and he is the one that is a weak reporter of hadith. Muhammad ibn Imran ibn Abi Layla. It is for him that the hadith is graded weak. Qala haddathana Ayyub ibn Jabir al-Hanafi, Abu Sulaiman, and Adam ibn Ali and ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. It said that Ibn Umar said, ما أنفق الرجل على نفسه وأهله يحتسبها إلا أجره الله تعالى فيها. ما أنفق الرجل على نفسه. And a man, an individual, does not spend upon himself وأهله, and upon those who are dependent on him, يحتسبها. While spending, he expects and anticipates, he hopes for the beautiful reward of his spending. The scholars say this is what we must do. When you spend on kith and kin, when you spend on your dependents, when you spend on your children, when you spend on your mothers, when you spend on your fathers, you should expect that, you hope that Allah will grant you good rewards from them. We have known this from other hadith on fasting. Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, whoever fasts Ramadan out of faith and hoping for good rewards. So ulama explained that when we make good deeds, we should make good deeds sincerely while expecting to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Goodness to kith and kin is not an exception. When you do it, you must expect good rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma anfaqa ar-rajulu ala nafsihi. An individual does not spend over himself, meaning that even when you spend over yourself, when you eat food for yourself, when you buy clothing for yourself, when you buy shoes for yourself, when you build a house for yourself, whatever you do for yourself to care for yourself, you should hope that you'll be rewarded by Allah over that. So what you do regarding yourself, wa ahlihi, and then regarding your dependents, the members of your family, your wives, your children, your parents, all of these your expenses that you give, you should expect to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do that expecting to be rewarded, illa ajarahu Allahu ta'ala fiha. You do not do that except that Allah will reward you regarding those things. And then Prophet Abdullah ibn Umar said, wabda biman ta'ul. The first person you should start after yourself is man ta'ul, those that you support, those who are of basic support from you, that is, those that are dependents, those who depend on you, start with them. Charity begins at home. Charity begins with the nearest kith and kin. That is what will change that adage to become. Charity begins with the nearest kith and kin. So start with the nearest kith and kin. فَإِنْ كَانَ فَضْلَىٰ, if there is an excess, فَالْأَقْرَبْ فَالْأَقْرَبْ. Start with yourself, then your dependents, then if there is an excess, فَالْأَقْرَبْ فَالْأَقْرَبْ فَالْأَقْرَبَ الْأَقْرَبْ, then those who are nearer to you, then those who are nearer, then those who are nearer. The Sheikh says, وَإِنْ كَانَ فَضْلَىٰ, if there is still an excess, because for some of the people, Allah has blessed them beyond count. Some of the people can't even count how much blessings of wealth Allah has provided. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he has actually taken this statement from the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are a number of ahadith. Over 7 companions have reported authentic hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in exactly this meaning. So if we take it as a clear-cut statement from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is widely reported and known amongst the Muslims, we have not erred at all. So when a person spends on himself, he spends on his wife, his children, his parents, and all of these. If there is still excess left after taking care of kith and kin, then he said, وَإِنْ كَانَ فَضْلًا فَنَاوِلْ. Then hand them out, give them out. نَاوِلْ, give them out. Give them out. That is, provide charity with the rest of, to the rest of the people with what you have. But don't forget, if that be Masa'ul, start with your dependents after yourself. After you care for yourself, care for your dependents. Then you care for the next ones. Then you care for the next ones. And after that, every other person now comes in the category. So the point of reference under this chapter heading is Biru al-Aqrabi fal-Aqrab. We must not forget that while discharging the ties of kinship, fulfilling the rights of kinship, the closer those persons are to us, the greater rights they have. And the closest persons to us are ourselves. After ourselves, then our parents, as this hadith shows, because it says, start with yourself. There are a lot of hadiths with that. But as for discharging the rights of kinship, the first persons are our mothers. Our mothers, and then our fathers, and then our children, and then our brothers and our sisters together. They're in the same category. Both half brother and half sisters, and full brothers and full sisters. After that, our paternal uncles. After that, our paternal uncles and paternal aunts. They're in the same category. After that, our maternal uncles and maternal aunts. They're in the same category. After that, our paternal cousins. They are the ones that we show kindness to. After that, we move our maternal cousins. This is how this thing has come in grace. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it beneficial to us, as it was beneficial to that young man who heard the story from, who heard the report from Abu Hurairah. Like we mentioned, the common thing amongst the early Muslims, they believe that if they are in a gathering and there is someone who is not connecting family ties, that if dua is made, that dua will not be accepted because he has Allah's anger with him. May Allah protect us from this. I think it will be sufficient to stop here for today so that we can take a few questions, inshallah. I like to quickly mention a question that has hung on us or that has hung on us since about a week or two ago. Someone asked that if a person has an uncle, we know we must show kindness to them. And from amongst those that are near to us are the children of that uncle. That if that uncle had had children without marriage, children born out of wedlock from our uncles, how do we handle them? Are they still in that category to us? The reason is that we know that the Sharia, those children are connected to their mother. Those children born out of wedlock are connected to their mother. They are from the family of their mother. When a woman gives birth to a baby outside wedlock, the baby is not connected to the family of the man. The baby is rather connected to the family of the woman who made zina and evil. May Allah protect us. This is from what a woman loses. When a woman becomes like that, the responsibility goes back to her family. And that's why parents and relatives, everybody, hands must be on the deck to protect our daughters, to protect our sisters, to protect our mothers from evil. May Allah protect all of us. So the child becomes ascribed to the family of the woman in cases of the evil of sin. The child becomes connected to them. So how about the others. We, the others, the nephews of this uncle, will they consider those children born out of wedlock from their own cousins? I have asked repeatedly for time to be able to give an answer to this, and until as I speak, I have not found an answer to it. Because whatever answer is provided me is of not truth. So I'll still ask that, inshallah. I hope that I can answer that question in the subsequent process that we have. How do we handle those people? Will they be considered as our cousins and so near to us, and in fact come before the children of our maternal aunts and uncles? Is this the status? Or because they were born out of wedlock, we take them away from those who are deserving of our nearness in this kind of a manner? Perhaps except when we now generally hand out excess wealth, are we going to consider them from those who have rights on us, or we are going to consider them as from those who will benefit from our excess? This is the implication of that question. Inshallah, I hope that we'll answer that question in the subsequent class. So if we have a question from you, Abu Yusuf, we can go on with this step.
This question says, if the nearest are not Muslims, for instance, a non-Muslim mother, can she be the most nearest to us?
Yes, she's still the mother. The mother is still the mother. The mother is the mother. The mother is the mother. I think we had read regarding something like this in the previous ahad. The mother is the mother. Nothing removes her from being the mother. And kindness she's still shown to her. Except when she becomes someone who is hurtful to us regarding the religion, like the mother of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the father of Ibrahim. If he becomes that kind of a mother who will go to the extent of even killing their child because of Islam, then we are, as it's in Surah Al-Mumtahina, we are asked to be very, very cautious regarding those kinds of people. But even as that, we will still not disconnect from them. We will still try to make like Allah told us in the Quran, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. In other matters, we try to be as careful and as nice as possible with them. Otherwise, the mother is still the mother, and she still has the right of care and attention from us, their children. I hope that it is clear.
This one says, I don't know my father's family. I don't know my father's family members. I didn't grow around them. They are all Christians. Should I go in search of them?
Please go in search of them. Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar, come back to that in this book. Umar radiallahu anhu has told the people. He says, Ta'allamu min ansabikum. Ma tasiluna bihi arhamah. You must learn who are your relatives. That's knowledge that will help you be able to fulfill the rights of each. So look for them. The least thing is you know them. The least thing you do is that you can say hello to them sometimes. And the biggest of the benefits you can be to them is direct your da'wah towards bringing them to Islam. The least thing you can do is ask, hello, how are you? The least thing. From amongst the least things you can do is also you have excess wealth, you can benefit them. But from the best thing you can do was what Abu Huraira did to his mother. You be on their neck until they accept Islam. So there's a lot of benefit in helping them out and knowing them and connecting them. Some of the women who go in marriage commit this mistake. When a marriage becomes unsuccessful and they go out of the marriage, they take the children away and disconnect them from the family of the husband who had those children. They are not doing those children any good, and they are not being fair to those children. The injustice that the women commit in this circumstance are injustices against their children. The bad dealings between you and the father of that boy or girl does not justify you disconnecting that boy or girl from his own family or from her own family. So I think we require a lot of justification in this aspect. May Allah make it easy for us. It is not going to be completely easy. It is not going to be completely easy, but struggling for it, all of those struggles itself or themselves will be rewarded by Allah as from the aspects of connecting family ties. Whatever effort we put in will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the aspects of connecting family ties. Abba Yusuf, I think we are on the dot of the hour now. We'll stop here, inshallah. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته